both know it's gone wrong.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Oscar Talk with yours truly, who almost forgot his own name, Chris Tapley of InContention.com.
You must be tired.
And Ann Thompson of Thompson on Hollywood. Yeah, you know, it's getting down to the weekend before the nominees, and after that's over, there'll be another 5 weeks of inevitability. But, you know, here we are, right before the big reveal. So
we're reading tea leaves that have no impact on, you know, well, it does. A little bit of impact in the sense that, you know, the winners that we, I mean, the movies that we already believe will be nominated, you know, people still seem to be campaigning, you know. I mean, people are campaigning for The King's Speech and Social Network, the two big movies that are in contention against each other and not giving up hope, you know.
Yeah, and I don't think Social Network, I don't think that crowd is taking anything for granted at this point. I think
they shouldn't.
They're pushing the pedal to the metal. And, you know, at some point maybe that could be perceived as grating. At some point maybe that will just finally turn the trick and get them across the finish line. I don't really know yet. You know, you end up in this maelstrom of discussion from vested interests and competition, and you can't really get a bead on a real kind of objective idea of how this campaign has gone. But the fact is, they've spent a lot of money. It's up there as far as Oscar campaigns go. And I guess, you know, the dominoes seem to be lined up, frankly. But again, they're not taking it for granted. But let's quickly talk about the Golden Globes and the Broadcast Film Critics Association Awards, the Critics' Choice Movie Awards, as they are called. Because we haven't spoken since then, right? Yeah, it was last weekend. So let's start with the Critics' Choice Awards, which were Friday. You attended your first CCMA. Did you like it?
I enjoyed myself thoroughly. I mean, I didn't quite know what to expect, and you know, it's a professional show. And it was entertaining, and it moved quite quickly. They did cut out a lot of categories, and I followed up with Joey Berlin to ask why they left out, especially music, because original song, because there were all these people. I was sitting at John Legend's table, and there were all these people who didn't, you know, who were. A.R. Rahman came over and told John Legend, you know, basically that A.R. Rahman had won.
By the way, I won.
Well, I think he was doing him a favor. The guy, you know, he was like waiting for. They were all preparing speeches to go up and give their acceptance speeches, you know, and I felt bad for them. You know, and I think original score also. I think Trent Reznor was the winner, right? And Atticus Ross that night.
Yes.
So, you know, so they that was kind of a surprise if you're expecting.
I'm trying to remember the year before, which was the first year they added tech categories. I know they announced a lot of them just in a montage like they did this year, but I can't remember if music was part of the show or not. I don't.
And they took a lot of time, you know, with the Quentin Tarantino tribute, which was great fun. And that had a whole music component, and they had performers and everything. But that kind of, I sort of thought maybe they should have given some time to the actual winners in that situation. But that's a quibble. I mean, it was a really fun evening. And you know, they did sort of list all the, you know, you had to pay attention if you were trying to track the winners that, you know, they were like all these Inception wins in the technical categories. Announced all at once in a big flurry, you know.
You were sitting with Waiting for Superman.
I was. They won. And then you were sitting with The Fighter.
Yeah, Paramount was having a good night for a little while. I mean, as soon as Christian Bale sat down, they won the Ensemble Award. Like the moment he sat down. And he said, oh, we've got to get up. Oh, let's go. Yeah, it was great. It was great, and I spent.
I could listen if I wanted to really eavesdrop. I could hear what, you know, Matt Damon and Jeff Bridges were saying to each other. You know.
Yeah, I think Damon was running solo, which was kind of awesome.
I like that, and I found that, you know, I think he had another event that he had to do, the Golden Globes, right? So I think what was that the other event he had to do?
Because that night? No, not that night.
Because Because he was sometimes if you want to sort of spare your partner having to go to multiple things, you pick and choose. That's what I find,
Sure, yeah. I spent most of the night talking to Jack McGee and his wife, which was, he's, if you don't know who he is, he's the father from The Fighter, great character actor from Rescue Me, and he's just the coolest guy in the world. Saw him at the Paramount party on Saturday night also, which was their
That was a
pre.
good party too. It's
Yeah.
at the Chateau Marmont. It's
Yeah.
outdoors and indoors, and you get into this thing where there's a sort of square outside, and all the people are jammed in there. That you know the studio. So there's a moment where I'm talking to Ethan Coen and
Sure.
Brad Grey, and Ethan was just smiling from ear to ear, in a way that only a happy person with a huge hit that's heading toward the Oscars can smile. And these are not guys who, this is what I like about the Coens. They don't have entitlement issues, I mean, except that they want to be able to make their movies their way. He was genuinely surprised that this has gone so well. He's like, what happened?
Yeah, everybody is on that movie. I actually had lunch with Bridges yesterday, and he is like, wow, this movie is doing really well, and it's like legitimate surprise because obviously it's a Western, you don't expect it to make money at the box office, at least certainly not this kind of money. They don't travel well, so I don't know what it'll do overseas, but just the fact that it's going to cross $150 million and potentially be the biggest Western ever since,
It's
Dances with Wolves,
amazing.
it's just great. It's great.
Rudin was always very confident about it. He really believed it was a mainstream accessible movie. And I this is yet another case where, like, I misunderstood, how popular Inglourious Basterds was going to be. It's like people like smart movies.
Right. Well,
Who
yeah.
knew?
That was Michael Arndt's line to me at the Critics' Choice Awards, and just name dropping like a douche lately. But anyway, he was like, Social Network made movies about smart people cool again, or okay again.
Well, what they did, all of these, all these movies are showing the studios which need reminding, that there is a market for this, that
Yeah.
adults go to the movies, that they require smart films. It's not, I mean, the history of Hollywood has been full of plenty of intelligent, smart movies being made for smart people. It shouldn't have become a rarity.
Yeah, and Black Swan, The King's Speech, True
Even
Grit, they're
The
doing
Fighter,
well. The Fighter, they're doing well at the
sure.
box office.
Sure.
So it's great. Let's talk
I mean,
about.
that's. Go ahead. Yeah.
No. If you had something
I was
else to
going to
add.
say the fighter's more blue collar and more accessible, but nonetheless a smart movie. Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk
Go
about the
ahead.
BAFTA nominations.
Yeah.
Which, whatever. Guy had the funniest reaction to those. He gets frustrated with them year after year. But some things, generally I look to the BAFTA to maybe see something floating in the water that we haven't noticed yet. Like, I think Alan Alda was, he first popped up for The Aviator with BAFTA. Kate Winslet first showed up in, as a lead for The Reader from BAFTA. They put Hailee Steinfeld in lead.
Yes, they did. And they
Which,
put Leslie Manville in supporting,
supporting, right,
which was
so.
that whole debate that we've been having. And then the other thing that was interesting to me was the idea that Amy Adams was in there instead of Melissa Leo.
Yeah, the thing about that, I think that there might be a lot put into that, but I don't think I just think it comes down to them not really being familiar with Melissa Leo over there.
It could
I don't
be.
really think it says anything about her momentum or that performance or anything, to be honest.
Well, she didn't gain any momentum from this. Let's put
Sure.
it that way.
Yeah.
And
Well,
Amy Adams gained a little.
that supporting, well, let's get into this. That supporting actress category got scattered to the winds because it's already kind of fragile in a way we don't really, I mean,
That's
there
where the surprises are going to be, as they
yeah.
often are.
I mean,
I mean,
Barbara
Juliette
Hershey.
Binoche, coming in there one year. I mean,
Yeah.
people, you can get some strange things in there.
Barbara Hershey showing up instead of Mila Kunis.
Right.
It's just, it makes you wonder if there's going to be Hershey pulling votes away from Kunis and neither of them get in. It's just little things like that make you wonder, really, is what is the point I'm making.
But if, we've all been assuming that Leo and Adams would both get nominated, but I mean, there was an interesting debate going on Twitter about whether or not, there are times when you have two people nominated and it's very clear that one person goes ahead and wins. But
Right.
it's usually when everybody sort of solidifies around that one person. It,
Right.
it's it's like that person's the anointed one.
Right.
And if there's really a good horse race between the two, you can have a split.
Totally.
You know,
I mean, I
and
again.
A third person comes in the middle, and that you were totally. I mean, I've always had that theory with Marissa Tomei, that she was one of those surprise wins for that reason.
Yeah.
That other people competed heavily, and she just slipped through.
That's how I think Steinfeld's going to win, but it'll be interesting to see if she even gets nominated as a supporting. She might get nominated for lead. But let's talk about the fifth spots, so to speak, in those two categories, because I think in lead, I think we all agree that Jennifer Lawrence, Annette Bening, Nicole Kidman, and Natalie Portman.
I'm not sure Nicole Kidman is a lock. I think she's going to be because there isn't. I don't think there's anyone else to take that slot except her.
Right. Well, it's fair to say those are probably safe. And then there's the fifth nominee with SAG was Hilary Swank, which would not surprise me if she was nominated for Oscar, because she is one of the first names that I hear people talk about sometimes with that category.
I'm still thinking Leslie Manville could sneak in.
Really? Because I'm with supporting now on that. I think that she's going to get nominated for supporting actress.
But whatever BAFTA did had no influence on the nomination ballots.
It's not about influence. It's about having that at that kind of. How to best describe this? Because people always think I'm talking about it influencing, and that's not what I mean. What I mean is whatever was happening in that membership and whatever crossover that has, which is decent. I mean, it's not a lot, but it's decent.
Between BAFTA and,
and Academy.
The Academy.
It indicates maybe some rhythms that are going on underneath everything that could be revealed on Tuesday.
I have spoken to people who feel very strongly that Leslie Manville should be supporting. I have.
Yeah. So. That's what I'm thinking. I think Julianne Moore has more of a case now than she ever did for potentially being a lead nominee.
I hear that a lot. I hear a lot of people saying she should be in there with Annette.
That's great. I mean, you know how I feel about that.
But that's not going to be good for Annette if it happens, because Annette needs to beat Natalie Portman, who has clearly got a lot of steam.
Right.
And if she's competing with her own co-star, that makes it tougher. I think.
Yeah, I just don't know what I'm going to go with for that fifth spot with the lead. I don't know. Swank, Moore. I don't think Williams is going to happen. I could see Steinfeld slipping in. It would be great. But that's really it. I don't really know what to go with there. I mean, if
there isn't anything else.
You're going to go with Manville, you think?
I am. Because the actors like Mike Lee. This is the Academy.
Right.
They'll watch that.
Right.
You know? They've done it before. I mean, it's just the pattern. The pattern is that they've done it before. And when they haven't done it, it's because the category was so competitive. Right. They didn't do it for Sally Hawken, but it was a big competitive year.
Well, supporting actress, I was glad that Miranda Richardson was nominated by the BAFTA. It's probably going to be a one and done for her there, but who knows?
I'm happy to see her get that recognition.
Yeah.
That movie is an underappreciated little gem. I quite liked it, and I'm glad to see it get some attention.
What else is, I mean, there's Jackie Weaver, who seems to be more of a press darling. I wonder if anyone's really seen the movie in the Academy.
I think there's been enough press so that the actors will check her out.
Yeah.
There has been quite a bit. They've done their job. I think she gets in. I think Jackie Weaver's the classic case of the older actress with the runaway part, you know. She gets in, I think.
I don't know if I've said this, and I don't begrudge anyone's success, but I have to confess not really understanding the hoopla over Jackie Weaver in that film.
Oh, she's chilling. I mean, she's the ultimate wicked mom, and the way she's controlling her brood, and the way she goes hot and cold on her own grandson.
Sure.
I've heard all the talking points.
I don't know. Yeah. I watched it twice to see if, what am I missing? And it just didn't, the performance in the movie in general just never really settled for me, so.
Oh, I like that. It was one of, I appreciated that movie a lot. I want to see what that young guy does, David Michaud. But we've talked about that before, so we should, what do you think the other supporting actress contenders are?
Well, there's Manville for my fifth spot, and then Weaver, Kunis, Hershey, Richardson, and that's like it. I mean, maybe Olivia Williams as a shocker, but I doubt it.
I don't think so. I really don't.
Do you think Mila Kunis is going to make it in?
Steinfeld gets
well,
in there.
I'm going to keep her in supporting. I don't think I can cross over and say that's going to happen. If it happens, great, but I don't think I can predict it, so to speak. Are you going with Kunis?
I am going with okay, let's see what we have here. Supporting actors: Amy Adams, Helena Bonham Carter, Melissa Leo, Haley Steinfeld, and Jackie Weaver, with Mila Kunis and Diane Wiest as the outsiders on the
Yeah, I don't
outside.
think Weast is gonna happen.
No, but my five are Adams, Carter, Leo, Steinfeld, and Weaver.
Right.
And
Well,
Kunis, not Kunis. So who are you leaving out? Are you leaving out Helena Bonham Carter
I'm
out?
leaving Weaver out. I don't really know that they saw it.
Okay.
That's just, you know, she would be my alternate, I guess, but I think
But
I'm
I
gonna leave her
thought
out.
Kunis was going to win the Golden Globe, and she didn't, you know? I'm not feeling a lot of support. I don't, people aren't talking about her.
I've been surprised that she's gotten this far. I mean, she's lovely
Yeah.
and great in the movie, but I was just a little taken aback that she, and not Hershey, was getting the attention because Hershey obviously has a little more meat to chew on with her role.
I should add Hershey as one of the outside contenders. It could happen.
She's definitely, yeah, I think she's definitely a possibility. I mean, for whatever BAFTA's worth. I always wait until the shortlist comes out for foreign film before I really look at these movies. Have you seen the movies on the nine shortlisted films?
I've seen Beautiful. I have not seen The Beer or any of the others. None of the
Oh,
others.
really? So we can't really talk about it. I mean,
I will
I think
catch
we're
up.
all.
What, have you seen them all?
No. I was hoping you had so that you could talk about them.
Well, we
But
got to get Guy Lodge on for that. But his,
hey,
he was the one.
let's see
He
if
was
he's
the
on
one
it.
who did the South African thing. He was all over that. I mean, the big surprise was that Of Gods and Men did not get in. And also the I think there is some controversy bubbling up right now about the whole issue of these committees. And how, Mark Johnson stepped in, created this other committee that would add three titles to the six that were chosen by the regular rank and file voters, several hundred. And, he was frustrated because there were sometimes critical hits that or Palme d'Or winning hits, movies that weren't getting, in the year that 4 months, three weeks, didn't get in. So I think it's really interesting that they put in Dogtooth. I mean, that's the thing. They have the ability now to throw into contention, and then there's another group that votes on this list of movies. And so you have this sort of kind of crazy quilt, thing that's sort of being maneuvered in a way and by Mark Johnson, and it just I love him. I think he's great. I respect him a good deal. He has great taste, but in a way, it's like, well, the people who saw the movies are voting for what they liked.
Yeah,
Why
it
not?
just feels like an inauthentic process all around. I mean, it's like, please, we need to be credible. We need to have this
Yeah, but what
system
if
where we
you
can
put
throw
in a
something on
movie?
there.
This is a case where I happen to have seen Dogtooth, okay? Dogtooth is a movie that's extremely sensational and taboo breaking. It's about a family that's sequestered in a situation where all the rules that they play by are not the rules the rest of us play by. And you have, incest going on, and the father comes home every night and brings a woman at home to sleep with his son, and all kinds of they think cats are dangerous and they can't go over the wall, and they're all, it just makes the children and the parents are all nuts. And it goes, it gets more and more sort of, you could argue that it's a very smart, very well-made movie, but you could also argue that it's offensive, and sensational, and so you have this situation where every time, I mean, people walk out on this movie. Regular folks cannot take it; they get upset. There's a scene where they kill a cat that sends people scurrying to this, So I would say this is a movie that the regular rank and file of the Academy would never have voted for, is my point.
Well, it's not going to get in now either. I mean, it might be on the short list, but that's probably as far as it goes. Thank you, executive committee, for the tip of the hat. But at the same time, most people didn't really expect the Peru film to get nominated last year, and it suddenly got in. So,
And it did very well, obviously.
yeah.
Yeah. So no, it's we don't know which of the films were added and which were not, and that's another, not transparent part of the system. I just don't like it. I don't
Right.
like the system.
Right. Well, I'm gonna catch up on them, a few of them this weekend, I think. I have like one or two on
Well, the
Screener.
Suzanne Beer and Incendies, which were on the festival circuit, are both up here at Sundance, so I'm going to try to see them too.
Well, I did dive into the documentaries, and I can speak somewhat intelligently on those.
Okay.
I watched all of them.
Oh my God, you are way ahead of me
Well,
now.
yeah, I just it's been such a great year for documentaries, and I wanted to see if this was at least a representative field, and it really is. I mean, aside from like a handful, like there's a film called Genius Within. It's about pianist Glenn Gould. It felt a little just uninteresting, I guess. And there's another film called Quest for Honor, which are both from the same company, so I feel bad kind of dogging on them. But they're fine films, but like Quest for Honor feels like a Dateline episode, for instance. They're not as interesting as some of the other films. No secret, what I love is Exit Through the Gift Shop. I wonder if it will get nominated.
I have a feeling it may not make
Well,
it
you know
because
the
he's an outsider and they tend to vote in, not to be too simplistic, but they do tend to vote in insiders.
Yeah, and that's how I've been feeling, but some are making the argument that if it made it this far, I mean, getting over that hump of the shortlist was kind of going to be, because Anvil didn't even make the shortlist last year. So if it made it this far and it's the most awarded documentary of the year, you'd think that maybe it will, but I don't know. Again, I'm still a little hesitant to think it will. I think Waiting for Superman, Inside Job, Locked In.
And Restrepo and Client 9, I would
No,
say.
I don't think so. Personally, I think Client 9 is, I've felt this since I first saw it. It's a talking head documentary. It's very interesting. He's an intriguing persona, but there's nothing cinematic or interesting about the movie.
I disagree completely. He got some incredible interviews. He was amusing. He had the guy punching the bag. He had great shots of New York. He had great music. It was extremely visual, more visual and more kind of entertaining, really. I mean, these characters were wild, and he got them to just show themselves completely, reveal themselves, and they were sort of gleefully dumping on Spitzer. It showed us a story we didn't know. The girl we thought was the Client 9 girl wasn't even the girl.
Sure. I just it didn't do anything for me. A film like Restrepo, on the other hand, is a miracle that it exists, as I've said. It's just a wonderful, on the ground, just in the middle of the shit movie, and it's like one of the few movies this year I'd have to say I'm grateful is for, you know.
I feel the same. I feel very strongly about it. In fact, I often get worked up about. This is one of those movies that makes me cry. It makes I get worked up about it, thinking about it, because it upsets me so much.
Right. Well, nevertheless, I actually don't think it'll be nominated. There's a film called Gasland from HBO that is really fantastic. Josh Fox, director. It's about hydraulic fracturing, which is the process by which we drill for natural gas and how that pollutes water. And there's people who can light their tap water on fire as it comes out of the faucet. And it's really probably the most important film of the bunch because of the layers it peels back. There's another film called Wasteland, which won the International Documentary Association Award. I think that's their name. Have you seen that, Wasteland?
No, she's Lucy Walker's a really good filmmaker, and I look forward to seeing it.
I think that gets in. I mean, it's the crowd pleaser. It's really emotional. I mean, I'm sure you know the log line, but it's about these pickers of a landfill outside of Rio de Janeiro who pull out the recycling, the stuff that you can recycle and sell it and make their living that way. And this modern artist, whose name I forget, goes in and photographs everyone and then blows those images up really big and fills it in with garbage and recycling materials and takes a picture of it. And it's just this big living work of art, and then has a show and then sells the artwork and gives the money back. And it's really uplifting in a way. It's because it also follows this one gentleman who was responsible for putting together this group of pickers, and how there are other landfills now that have these. And it's got this environmental thing going on that's gonna, I think, ring true and well for
I
people.
have that one in my contenders list, along with the Tillman story, which is another movie that is surprisingly humane and more about a family and more about the dynamics inside a family and the honor code
Yeah.
that people live by, which is very moving for that reason. You know, it's not just about the issue of what happened to this guy, but about what is a cover-up, what is a government lying to families, how do families believe that, what morals we should be following.
I like that film quite a bit. It's a talking head doc as well, which they sometimes tend to have trouble, actually. And I don't mean talking head as a pejorative, but it is they do tend to spring for things that
I'd agree
are.
with you that it's a very straightforward interview head subject
Right.
thing, but the way it's edited together and the way that they decided to tell the story is surprising.
Right.
It's not what you expect.
There's another film called William Constler. I have to be careful when I say that name. Disturbing the Universe, which is a very personal movie. It's directed by his daughters, and William Constler was, of course, a very liberal lawyer from the late 60s, early 70s. He defended Black Panthers and was involved with negotiating on behalf of the inmates at Attica. Just kind of hot button cases he was always involved with. And it's really well done, actually. I thought it was a great movie. Some people think it's a little PBS-ish, but I thought it was because it's so personal, because it's his daughter's doing this movie, and it's really honest and unflinching. And it's got people like Michael Moore backing it behind the scenes. So that is something that's lurking on the outside. And then there's one other film I'd like to mention from this called This Way of Life, which is about a New Zealand father of, I think three, he's got three or four daughters, maybe more than that actually. He's got 50 horses. They live off the land, off the grid. But beyond just that, there's this familial strife going on between him and his adoptive father. And it's a really beautiful movie. The cinematography is fantastic. It's something I would look to as a sleeper, because this category always kind of surprises. You think it's going to be all these movies you've heard of all year, but it turns out to be a number of other movies, and once you see them in the context of every other film, you start to see what they kind of lean toward. And my guess is Waiting for Superman, Inside Job, Gasland, Wasteland, and maybe Exit Through the Gift Shop. I don't think I could bet against my favorite movie of the year, so I might lean toward it. But Restrepo and Tillman are certainly possible as well. But
That's my list.
I don't think Client 9 is going to happen. I don't know. It's just me.
Klein, I know. I'm in there. I mean, it's just been, but it's also been winning a lot of things. I mean,
Yeah.
it's not, it's in the, it's those four movies, those are the ones that are winning the most, things. But that doesn't mean, you're right. In the doc category, that's those other awards are not necessarily indicative.
Do you have
The Critics Awards.
right? Do you have any upset picks throughout the categories? Something that, people probably don't see coming, but you think could really happen.
Well, I do think that Rockwell could come through on the supporting actor side. I think I'm pretty much on my own on that one. I'm pretty clear that Despicable Me is the third animated film. I'm pretty solid on that
Oh,
now.
really?
The Illusionist would be a surprise at this point, I think,
What about Tangled?
or Tangled. Both of those are
What?
sitting on the outside of that, trying to get that third slot.
That is a race that has me confused on that third spot. I don't really. It was Tangled for me for a while, and now earlier it was Illusionist, and Despicable Me is the one that a lot of industry groups have cited. But these are the animators, so I don't really know. I mean, I would think they would like to keep 2D alive by nominating The
I don't know if
Illusionist.
they think in those
I
terms.
think they absolutely think in those terms.
I think they look at it as a. I think they look at it as a movie that, and they look at degrees of complexity, and they look at
No,
difficulty.
I actually disagree with that completely. They look at the craft and they look at the animation just as much as they look at it as a whole movie, I think, if not more. And that's why I think things like Secret of Kells get nominated. Secret of Kells is not a good movie, I don't think, but it's a beautiful movie and it's a well-crafted film as it from an animation standpoint, and I think that's why it was nominated.
But part of the problem with The Illusionist is that it's very, while it's very beautiful, it is not compelling. It's a very low key, if you don't know who if you don't relate to the persona of Jacques Tati, the guy, there's a sort of relationship between him and the daughter, the figure. It's quirky and odd and wonderful, and I love it. But I could see that it would, it's not universal. It's not the kind of thing that builds a consensus of love and admiration.
That's true, but I guess I just don't think that's a prerequisite
Well,
necessarily.
what you I think that all of these factors are in there. I don't think it's one or the other. I think you have a group of people who are all looking at different things. I don't think they think like a huge mass, all of them the same. You need the thing that wins, the thing that goes all the way, is the thing that manages to pull a consensus for, people voting because it's beautiful animation, people voting because it's extraordinary craft work, people voting because they think that the work they did on the hair and Tangled is unbelievable. That they all have different reasons for admiring something and different bases for which to vote for it. I don't
So
think it's all
what's
one thing.
Well, answer me this. What's the basis for voting for Despicable Me, which to me has no virtue other than its box office? That's my opinion of the movie. I know you like the movie, but tell me
I
why.
no, I thought that the animation, one of the great things about that movie is that it was original, and it was, as most animated films now are, they're the last hope, the last refuge of original screenplays. And it has a very European flavor, part because of the people that worked on it and where the idea came from. And it has this different style that doesn't look like a Pixar movie, and it doesn't look like a DreamWorks movie, and it doesn't have the same beats that the DreamWorks or Disney or Pixar movies have. And that's one of the reasons why it popped, I think, in the market and did well. And it doesn't look like a Blue Sky movie either. And it's just really, really well, tight, well written, well acted, all, well drawn all the way through. I just loved it.
I like Steve Carell. That's about it. That's me.
I think we've had this argument
Have we?
before. Yes.
Oh, well. Let's have it again. Come on. All right, well, if I was going to pick a surprise, I feel like Javier Bardem is lurking, waiting to shock.
I actually agree with you. I actually put our Bardem video back up because I'd love to see that happen. Frankly, I think it would be great.
Who
Who would
falls
he
out?
knock out?
That's what we asked at the same time. You know,
Well,
I feel like Duvall.
Franco?
No, I think Duvall is at the bottom of the
Duvall is at
list.
the bottom.
But he's so amazing. You'd be it would
No, they're
be
going to go for Duvall. I mean,
Yeah.
he's it's a that's a that's a long of a deep affection and beautiful. It's just that when actors have seen the movie,
Yeah.
they start falling over themselves about what an amazing performance it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
So,
like the movie, but Bardem would be on my ballot in a heartbeat.
but people would be avoiding the movie. That's the issue,
Yeah.
and how many people actually went ahead and looked at it, So Bridges is a lot is in Eisenberg, Firth, Franco, I think are all in. I don't see Gosling getting
Yeah,
in.
me neither. Eisenberg would be not my number 4. There are those who would say who are trying to float the idea that Bridges playing Wayne is gonna could work against him. I just don't.
It is
I'd be so
nominated. I
shocked.
mean, he won already, so
No,
it's not an
Bridges
issue.
playing John Wayne. I mean, just treading on that territory
That
could
he
work
wouldn't get
against him.
nominated at all?
Yeah, I mean, I'm
I
for
don't think so. No,
I'm
he's in. There's palpable affection for him. I mean, people
absolutely.
just adore him,
Absolutely.
and they adore this movie, and it's a huge hit. And he did a great job. I mean, he removed all thought. That was his job. His job was to remove John Wayne from the picture. It's a different movie. It's okay. I don't think there's an issue there.
Yeah, I don't I totally agree. I'm just floating the bullshit that's been floated my way like a good journalist. Which was totally a joke. Well, how
I
about
mean,
let's
the way outside crazy thing in actress would be Tilda Swinton. I just don't think it'll happen.
Well, before we get to the reader questions as far as Best Picture goes, just so we can, because I didn't want to go through every category. That's why we decided to focus on a couple of things we haven't really discussed. But with Best Picture, we should. I'm going to go with the PGA 10, with The Town as my number 10 and Winter's Bone on the outside looking in. What are you going
with? I'm
going
to go the other way. I'm going to leave out 127 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
What's making you do that?
I feel that there's, I think Winter's Bone is in.
Why?
Because people really, really like it. People
Why haven't they shown their appreciation?
Really like it. It's just that she has been popping up enough, you know? And Lawrence is in there, and there has been some evidence of support for Hawks. And I just get the sense, I think the Academy is classier. They take the high road. They don't always go, you know, with the broad. You know, there's... It's my hunch. It's mm-hmm. my hunch.
Okay.
And 127 hours has been... Here's my thing. I am convinced that Black Swan, Fighter, Inception, Kids, King, Social, True, Toy Story, solid as a rock. Three movies are in the bottom, you know, and it's 100... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1... Yeah, so it's basically one of those three gets left out. And mm-hmm. is it 127 hours, The Town, or Winter's Bone is what we all have to decide.
I just feel like 127 has had such obvious industry approval. I was going along with the idea for a while that people were refusing to see it, but clearly the guilds have seen it and have nominated it in a number of areas. I think The Town would be less of a shock for me if it was to miss. But I'm just going to, like I said, I'm just going to go with that PGA 10 because I'm not sold on Winner's Bone beyond critical approval, I guess. So
It's hard to, honestly, Chris, with 10,
mm-hmm.
it's hard. How do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Oh, I know. I mean,
if we had to do 5, we could really have a conversation, you know?
Yeah.
And like in the old days. And I think that's part of why this is such a muddled process.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get to a couple of questions. I asked last second for these, so I haven't even looked through them. I wonder if I should just read something without vetting it first. What do you think will win original screenplay? Is it between The King's Speech and The Kids Are All Right, or do you think Inception has a shot? That's from James C. Before even having nominations, what do you think will win Best Original Screenplay?
It's probably The King's Speech, but I think The Kids Are All Right has a shot at it.
No possibility for Inception?
No.
Let's see.
What do you think?
I think King's Speech wins. I mean, it's one of the Best Picture frontrunners, so
yeah, exactly.
I just don't really see how it could miss.
Unless they want her, unless they want The Kids Are All Right to win something. I mean, if they right. wanted to go that, they do think that way sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna give this one, you know, to that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she's more at this point. She's more lighter than Sidler is.
Mm-hmm.
Although he's been in L.A. for 30 years. But you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
She's the director, writer, as opposed to writer.
Right. Let's see. This is an interesting question from San Fran Cinema. I read about 10 different Oscar Watch blogs, and I wonder about the different philosophies of the various bloggers. Some bloggers seem to entirely focused on being right in their Academy Award predictions versus others who are focused on industry news. Others are very opinionated about films, almost like reviewers, etc. What are yours and Anne's thoughts about the purpose of, quote, awards bloggers? What's the purpose? Why do we exist, Anne? Very existential
well,
question.
We started out loving doing this. I mean, we enjoy it. We think about it. We obsess about it. I love figuring it out. It's something I've been doing for years and years and years and years and years. So now I'm doing it still. Except that I'm doing it more for a longer period of time, and I'm writing about more and more things. I mean, there used to be a time when I would just do, predict the nominations, or you'd write a few stories about something. You didn't, and you'd be, you'd a few columns in the course of a season, instead of finding yourself sort of hustling after things, day after day after day, which I think there's too much noise. I think a lot of people cook up stories just for the sake of a headline and some traffic, and they're chasing traffic instead of, really trying to communicate with people who care about something that they care about,
Well,
which
let's be honest, that's kind of what journalism is slowly devolving into.
yeah, that's true.
Andy.
And we have to fight the good fight, is
Yeah.
the point. We have to be, vigilant about that.
Yeah, my philosophy is, I don't know. I predict Oscars. I certainly am predicting, thinking, what I expect to be nominated, not what I want to be nominated. I like movies, therefore I found a niche where I could stay close to them while working on other ventures. And this whole thing kind of blew up in the last 10 years as far as extensive awards coverage, and there's obviously a reason for that. It's because there's money to be made. I keep doing it because it's what I do. So until I'm not doing it, I'm doing it. I'm gonna answer Andy Kahn's question because it cracks me up. Why bother asking questions? This site spends more than half its day jizzing over the social network. Based on editorial and advertising on this site, I would barely know that another movie was released this year. Seriously, exclamation point. Aside from clearly this gentleman being unbalanced, I think he has another site in mind. If anything, I've spent quite a bit of time trying to keep a certain balanced opinion on Social Network's Oscar potential. So I guess know which site you're addressing before you address the questions, sir.
That question would be very well applied to Awards Daily. Where I think, much as I love and admire Sasha, I find her advocacy of social network, just so out there. What she does and what I would suggest you and I do is slightly different, in that she's an advocate. She will be a passionate supporter of certain things. And even though we express our opinions and our views and our reviews of movies, I think we try to keep a fairly even keel about reporting what's going on.
I'm definitely a passionate supporter of certain movies. I guess it's just so often that those movies tend to not be in the Oscar hunt, so my quote advocacy can't really register. But in any case, let's see, one more question and we'll get out of Dodge and see what happens. This guy says any Maggie Gyllenhaals or Michael Shannons lurking. We just addressed that, but Maggie Gyllenhaal was the big shock last year. I'm hoping there'll be something like that this year. Okay, other than Sally Hawkins from Happy Go Lucky and The Dark Knight, what other snubs in Oscar history get you irked? Here's five for me: Emile Hirsch in Into the Wild. This is this guy speaking. Mona Washbourne in Stevie. Wow, going back. John Wayne, The Searchers. Victor Fleming, director of The Wizard of Oz. WALL-E for Best Picture. Did anything really just get your goat that it wasn't nominated for something?
Well, I was upset when, just in general, when Bright Star didn't do better. I mean, I just thought that was one of the best movies of the year, delicate and subtle, perhaps. But, it just didn't get the kind of support from the critics that it would have needed or even from audiences to get into any kind of contention, but it deserved across the board, I thought, categories across the categories, it deserved to be to be in the hunt.
I'll stick with something recent as well. Happy that Casey Affleck and Roger Deakins were nominated, but given that Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford is to me the best film of the decade, really irritating that that thing couldn't get below the line nominations across the board and certainly other major nominations.
I think if there had been a way to make it shorter, it would have had a better shot. I do believe that it was, I know we've argued about this.
I think people like the movie. I think actually that has a lot to do with Warner's just
dumping it.
Yeah, yeah. And not really putting a lot into it, comparatively, anyway. All right, well, then Tuesday is the big day. We're going to once again address the nominations day of, I assume.
We
haven't mentioned that you are in Sundance right now.
I'm in Sundance, but I've been through this before, yeah. The early morning routine. I mean, what I do is I get up, you know, grab it off the internet as fast as I can, mm-hmm. and do the analysis right away. I mean, that's right. as quickly as I can. And that can take an hour. I mean, it can take me some time.
Takes me all morning to get through this stuff.
To figure it out, yeah. Because you have to really, you have to count, and you have to analyze. You really do. You have to figure it out. So that will be my task. Mm-hmm. So maybe an hour or two after, you know, when everybody's up and they've had their coffee, we can weigh in.
Yep, and that will be our 50th episode.
Holy crap.
So until then, it's nice talking. Enjoy the dance.
Thank you.
Talk to you Tuesday. Bye.
Bye-bye. Driving to your house. Remember when we first met? Dancing on a Friday night. Under the moonlight. Talking till the night was gone. In the back of my truck with the radio on.